You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 70 for May 13th, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk all about running, from races to nutrition, gear. Got some gear talk coming up later in the podcast today. We are here on a post-Mother's Day Monday.
Yeah.
So hopefully everybody had a good Mother's Day.
Right.
Maybe that involves...
Or a weekend, I guess.
Right. Hopefully that involved maybe you moms had some time to get out and go for a run.
Get some alone time.
Maybe. It always seems like Father's Day is always like, you know, give dad a chance to go fishing or golfing or
right. Something
like that. But that doesn't seem to be the case on Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. Yeah.
Mothers get the bum rap.
Hopefully you guys got a good run in.
Yeah. So other than that, kind of a quiet weekend. We didn't race, which was good. Mm-hmm. Got some good training in, I guess.
Yeah. Got some good runs in otherwise.
At least I did. So let's go ahead.
I did too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's jump in. How our weeks went, week in training. So you go ahead and take it.
All right. I had a pretty good week running wise. As far as cross training, I think I only had like 3 days of cross training. So still doing some cross training, but just not doing as much as I want to. So I know I keep saying that every week and probably like broken record, but I'm still really trying to get some more cross training in there. So I think I was on the bike for like one day and I think I did weights like 2 days. That seems to be kind of my consistent weekly cross training, but I need to up that a little bit.
It's what you've fallen into lately.
Yeah, but I kind of need to change that up a little bit. But anyways, as far as running goes, pretty good. Got just a little over 40 miles in for my week with one incline run, I think a 5-miler. And then I did 12 miles trail running. We actually went out to Lake Chabot.
On the weekend.
Yeah, we've mentioned that place, I think.
A bunch of times.
So we went out there. So that was a really good run. And then I did 9 miles the next day and didn't feel too bad. So trying to get into my kind of back-to-back, you know, Saturday, Sunday kind of longish runs, prepping for Dirty Dozen, the 6-hour, I guess, endurance race.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Right, in about just under 2 months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How many weeks is it away now? Maybe, is it eight weeks or 7 weeks?
I think 8 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, so kind of trying to get my body ready for that. But the trail run, actually, pretty good weather. It was actually starting to get kind of warm.
Yeah.
It's warming up. And actually saw a snake for the first time out there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Not very big, but it just like, you know, came out of nowhere to me, you know, so I was like, ah, you know, and I had to like kind of like high step it for a second.
Did you almost step on it?
Almost. Well, I don't know if I almost did, but it felt like I almost did. And then I think probably for like the next like 10th of a mile, like anything that I saw that like kind of like resembled the snake, I would like just like, you know, like pick my feet up like way high, you know, just kind of high step. And I'm like, okay, that was a branch. That was like, you know, nothing. That was a branch. And I was like, oh my gosh, like just, I don't know, just get over it type thing. So, I mean, I wasn't like scared or terrified or anything, but I was just like, whoa, snake. And then like everything else after that, you know, looked like a snake. And it was kind of in that kind of the single track, like kind of shaded area. So, you know, everything just looks like a snake when you have like, you know, shadows and all of that. So that was kind of interesting. No dog story. I know I used to have a dog story like every week, but I haven't really had one.
We haven't talked about that in a while.
Yeah. So we'll see if those start coming back. But I did see a lot of, it seems like a lot of runners this time,
mm-hmm.
or more than before. I mean, I always, you know, see some runners, but it seemed like there was a lot more this week or the day we were there.
Yeah. As we get closer to, you know, the weather, summer, and the weather's much nicer, I think there's probably going to be more people out there, because I don't think we were out there at a different time than normal. So
right. That's
not the reason.
Yeah. So I think that was my week. I don't think I had anything else to say there.
Now, did you have any issues like bouncing back after the half? Because this is, you know, kind of
the week after the half.
To me, it's a recovery week, but.
Not really.
Alrighty.
But
then.
No, but that was surprising. That was actually surprising.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had maybe a little bit of soreness, like, but not much. I probably was less sore after the Pleasanton half than I have been in a really long time after a road half.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why, because I ran faster.
Right.
I mean, my effort was, you know, what is it, like more? I don't know what the word is.
Right.
You know, than other road halves. I don't really know why, but I was less sore. Maybe I have better form. I don't know. I can't explain it. Maybe the gravel helped.
Take a little bit of the pounding out.
Maybe. But yeah, no, it actually felt relatively good. And even right now, just doing the 12 miles at Lake Chabot and then doing 9 miles the next day, which was yesterday, I have like very, very, very little, just tiny bit of soreness on my right calf, but like nothing else. Everything else feels pretty good. So I think my body's kind of starting to get ready for Dirty Dozen. Starting to feel like it kind of did like before Way Too Cool,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like ramping up. So
gotcha.
Yeah, so it feels pretty good. How was your week?
was a pretty good week. Got my 3 runs in. I asked about kind of bouncing back from the half because Tuesday was definitely a recovery run for me.
Uh-huh.
I think I ran like 3 miles on Tuesday, and I was definitely, legs were definitely tired from the half. Mm-hmm. So I guess I did push it a little bit more than I kind of thought in the back of my head.
At the half?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my pace on Tuesday was probably like 2 minutes slower than what it would normally be. So definitely a recovery day, but nothing hurt. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Thursday got out there and felt much better, back to kind of my normal pace, I guess you could say, for a midweek run. And then on the weekend was, you know, that trail run. I did 8.25 miles. Couple minutes, the total time ended up being like 2 or 3 minutes slower than what I would normally do that run, which I think was due to the half the week before. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit, you know.
That's not that different though. Just a couple minutes over like 8.5 or 8+ miles.
And I wasn't really paying much attention to my pace. I just kind of went by how I felt.
I forgot I was going to say that too. But I was on the trail run. I actually tried not to look at my Garmin that much and just kind of go based on effort or feel. And so that's interesting that you actually did the same thing. Because
mm-hmm.
I just kind of was trying, sorry not to interrupt your weekend training, but I was kind of trying to go based on effort. So I kind of started off slower than maybe I normally would, you know, if I was like looking at my Garmin all the time, and actually felt better. And I think probably ended up running a little bit faster the last couple of miles than I normally would. Mm-hmm. I think I ran the 12 miles like a minute or less faster than the last time I ran it. So just kind of, but I felt better. Like I didn't feel like I was like so like just totally burned out on it. So it's interesting that you kind of did the same thing, more like based on effort and how you felt versus actual pace.
Yeah, I have a real hard time like on trail runs trying to worry about pacing, just because you know, you got hills and uphills and downhills and you know,
snakes.
And you know, it's tough because, you know, I think I did walk some more, a few more times than I normally would, just because like I said, it's a recovery week and no big deal. I wasn't really trying for much. I just kind of wanted to make sure I got back out there. So all in all, a good week. Ended the week on Sunday with, if you're running, don't get shocked. Don't trip and fall. If you're driving, hang on to the steering wheel. Did some cross training on Sunday, which I haven't done in a very long time. So I actually busted out a P90X DVD. Had to blow the dust off, you know. threw it in. I think I did shoulders and arms, I think is what I did. So did that workout just to kind of get some strength training back in. And I will make no promises on continuing that at all. This may be my last cross training for the next 6 months. I don't know. But my goal is to get a little bit more cross training in there, mixed in somehow. So yeah. I think for right now, until I figure something else out, when I can get around to it, I'll maybe do the P90X videos, kind of mix them up every once in a while. I'd like to do it like twice a week, but I was very happy to at least get that one day in. So that was my Sunday morning.
Are you sore from it at all?
I'm just starting to get sore.
So maybe tomorrow.
It's been like 30 hours probably since the workout. So it'll be probably later tonight or tomorrow morning when I'm really sore.
Yeah.
But my biceps are pretty, they're getting there as mm-hmm. I'm stretching them out right now. You can't see that, but I'm like taking this time to stretch. Yeah, it'll get there. So I'm definitely weaker than I used to be. I went a little bit lighter on the weights than I have in the past when I was actually doing the whole P90X program, because I did do it once. God, it must have been like 2 years ago now, 3 years ago. Did go through like the whole 90-day routine, which actually did build kind of a lot of strength, and it really works. It's just to actually follow the P90X program to a T, it's super time-consuming.
Yeah.
Because each day is like at least an hour. I didn't do the ab workout, which I'll try to swing that in. But like I said, it's just workouts are kind of long, so it's tough. And it was Mother's Day weekend, so lots of activities going around. Although with Mother's Day stuff going on, I guess kind of that always involves lots of sweets. So that probably...
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about that.
All I did was probably balance things out from the extra workout to the sweets that I ate, although I tried to be good. So
I think I did really good on my nutrition during the week.
Until the weekend.
Even Saturday, I didn't do too bad. I mean, I definitely had some sweets. And then Sunday, in terms of sweets, I think I basically undid my whole training for the entire week. Yeah, it was not a good nutrition day mm-hmm. yesterday. So, but
that's all right.
I got to get back on track.
Moms are worth it.
Right. I'm just kidding. So I can't let one day, you know, throw me totally off track. So yeah. That was one bad day. I enjoyed it. Everything tasted really good. Now I got to get back to it. So.
All right, let's get into some kind of running news, which is actually kind of a quiet week from everything that kind of came across my desk, I guess you could say. The first thing was earlier in the week, Disneyland announced or revealed what their medals were going to look like for the Disneyland half marathon weekend.
Yeah.
So that's including the Disneyland half, their new inaugural 10K, their 5K, and then the Dumbo Double Dare.
Which is the 10K on Saturday and the half marathon on Sunday, right?
Right.
I think it's like end of August, beginning of September, because I think it's like that.
Yeah, it's like right? the 30th. Yeah. It's like the last day right. of the month. So.
That's interesting. So we're actually doing the Dumbo Double Dare
over
2 months.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, you know, the half marathon medal was basically the same medal, I think, as they've had last year mm-hmm. and the year before. Of course, the Dumbo medal was new. You really liked it.
I really like the Dumbo, but I really like Dumbo. It's probably one of my favorite Disney movies. Like, I just think Dumbo is like adorable. If you just look at the medal, like I'm looking at like the picture right now, it's like, how do you not love that medal? But anyways, so I'm really excited about that one.
I wasn't, you know, I thought it was cool. Like, to me, it kind of looked like a throwback, kind of like appropriate for the era of the movie, but that's just my weird take on it. But it's cool. And then the 10K medal was like, it's like all gold too, right?
Right. Kind of similar to the half marathon medal.
Right.
But it has, I think, Alice in Wonderland mm-hmm. and the Mad Hatter and the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. I know it has a special name or something, but the rabbit from it. So
it's actually kind of hard to see the characters because it's all gold. That's the only thing once in a while I kind of don't like too much about the Disney medals is when they're all gold like that. It's kind of hard to get the definition of seeing what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I guess especially, anyway, I guess the problem is just, you know, looking at pictures and stuff like that. But
right.
But yeah, we threw a picture of that as soon as it came out. I threw a picture on our Facebook page. So if you haven't seen it, by some chance, you can go over to our Facebook page and take a look at all four medals kind of side by side, including the 5K, which I don't remember what it looked like.
It's it also has Alice in Wonderland and the rabbit.
I guess because I wasn't doing it, I didn't pay that much attention to it. So. Yeah.
I do like the fact that the 10K medal says inaugural on it. I don't know if you said that already.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
It's always kind of cool when you're doing an inaugural race to actually have it on there. So.
Yeah.
Other race news, we're going to kind of go around the world for this one. We're going to go to the UK. Kind of a funny story. At the Marathon of the North near Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
So we're testing our geography here
right.
for the world. But they had a marathon and half marathon. This was like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But all the news stories kind of came out because...
Like last couple days, I think.
Yeah. Because originally, the only person that officially ran the whole 26.2 was the winner of the race.
Right.
Everybody else kind of missed a little zigzag on the course.
Towards the end, I think,
the end. So, actually, everybody except for the first place finisher shorted it just by a little bit. Which, I was kind of funny because I think the article said it was 264 meters, which is like 0.16 of a mile.
Which is not much.
Yeah, not much to where I would even really... care about it really, but I just thought it was kind of a funny story. So apparently the race apologized. Some of the course marshals were
either misplaced,
but I guess they had just changed the race course like the night before.
Right
It was kind of like a really last minute change, so obviously some confusion there. They apologized. They're actually offering, I think, a 25% discount on next year's race, I think is what they said. So these things happen. It was such a short missed turn, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it makes much of a difference, but I just thought it was kind of funny because some of the articles were like, yes, I did run a marathon.
Right.
And it was also the half marathon was affected too, right?
Is it a Boston qualifier?
I have no idea.
Because that's the only time I think I would be upset.
If that mattered.
Yeah. Or maybe if it was my first marathon. I think I'd be upset like if it was my first marathon, because then I'd feel like, oh, I didn't really get like the full thing. But
that's so close.
I know, but like, you know, for your first, you're like, you know.
I mean, something that short, I don't think would bother me. And normally I'm the kind of person that would get bothered by stuff like that probably.
Yeah.
But just because, like, you know, when you run with your own GPS, usually I'm further off than that anyways.
Right.
So something so short wouldn't matter to me, but kind of funny. It happens. Usually it's local, kind of smaller. This was 5,000 people that went the wrong way, so that's not that small, I guess.
Affected.
Getting into some tech stuff that I wanted to mention, we've kind of talked about like fitness activity trackers before. So along the lines of Nike Fuel Bands that you've seen, I think we even talked about once about the Jawbone Up. So these are these kind of like a bracelet that you put on
mm-hmm.
and it tracks how many steps you take in a day. Some of them track how much sleep you get. All these kind of little factors. Sometimes they tie into apps.
Do they look at like calories burned, maybe that sort of thing or no?
Yeah. Like Nike Fuel Band will give you like a number score. Some of the other ones will just try to track a number on how much you burn. So a new one came out about a week ago. I kind of missed it for last week's podcast, but the Fitbit Flex, which Fitbit is a company we've actually talked before. It's been mm-hmm. around for a while. They've done several of these before, but their new one came out, which is just kind of like a bracelet. I think it's black or one other color, but I mention it because I think it's, if you're looking into one of these, I think it might be the best option that's available right now. Because I think on the looks, it's pretty good mm-hmm. based on size. It's pretty good. It's not like some crazy thing you're going to have on your wrist too much. It does track your sleep. You know, it tracks your steps, does all that. You know, it ties into their own app so you can get that calorie tracking. You know, in terms of accuracy, all these things are only going to be...
Yes, so you know, accurate, nothing's perfect.
Nothing's perfect. I mean, one thing like somebody mentions is if you're walking with a stroller uh-huh. or if you're running with like a jogger stroller, it's not going to probably measure very well or at all because your hands aren't moving.
Interesting.
As you hang on to the stroller, you know,
so like I guess you're going to have to just hold on to the stroller
with one hand,
with the other hand, the one that doesn't have it on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So somebody had pointed that out and I was like, oh, that's kind of true, you know, because if your hands are just steady the whole time,
yeah,
there's nothing to kind of measure there. Right. So, but the big reason I think this is kind of the best way to go, if you're going to get one of these at this moment, is it's only $99. Uh-huh. So Nike Fuel Band is way more than that. Jawbone Up, I think, comes in at $130, which would have been my pick of what to get before this one. But so, now that this one's out at $99, pretty good. So
price-wise, pretty good.
I think it's the best way to go. So in terms of looks, actual function, history of the company, actually been doing this for a while, and price, I think it's the best way to go. So if that's something you're interested in, check it out. Other tech stuff.
Okay. Before we move on, and if anybody actually tries it out,
let us know. Yeah.
I was kind of, see.
When it first came out, I was like, ooh, I was actually really tempted. I went to Amazon, but they were actually sold out because mm-hmm. I think of all the pre-orders.
It
wasn't available on Amazon, although I think I could have suckered myself into getting one just day one.
Suckered yourself?
Yeah. Really? You know, I was thinking, you know, let me be a guinea pig for the podcast and try this out. That way I can share it with everybody.
Take one for the team, right?
That was the plan, but it wasn't available. So then I kind of skipped over it and it's kind of gone past my head at this time. I was actually thinking about reactivating. We talked about Moves, which is the iPhone app on your, specifically for iPhones, that'll track how many steps you take in a day. And I was thinking of turning it back on. I kind of turned it off because of battery usage. I was thinking of getting back to it, just kind of see and get back to it, but haven't done that yet anyway. So other tech kind of stuff, Runtastic, which is an app that you can have on your smartphone that kind of tracks your running. We talked about Run Meter, kind of similar.
So it's iPhone and Android?
Darn you and your questions.
Well, you're the tech person. I don't know. Okay, so for your smartphone.
For sure. That's why I said smartphone.
I know, but
you caught on to my trick. Because I don't remember if it's for Android, but they actually do like walking and cycling. They have actually a whole line of apps. But they actually have, I noticed the articles came across today, they actually have their own GPS watch now. So kind of similar to a Garmin.
Oh, interesting.
They also have one that you can buy one package that ties in with the heart rate monitor. So if you're familiar with Runtastic or already using it, if you want to stick with the company, might be another option. I think I'll be curious to see how the battery lasts, because I know for your Garmin, I think one issue is your battery.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to really last anymore.
That just made me think about, because I haven't really had any trouble with it since Way Too Cool, but that's because I was out there for like 5.5 hours or so, and I haven't, you know, been out running mm-hmm. anywhere close to that. I wonder if I'm going to be able to use it for Dirty Dozen, for the six-hour race, or if it's just going to like totally poop out on me like it. Oh, man.
Maybe you'll have to stop in the middle and charge.
And charge it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a bummer. It's not a huge deal, you know, because it's pretty set loops that you're doing.
And right.
There's going to be a clock that I'm going to pass by every 3-point-something miles, but that's kind of a bummer if it poops out on me. Because I know when I was doing Way Too Cool, I think it gave me a low battery signal at like 5 hours or something like that. And I was like, oh, man. But it actually lasted the whole time, but just like barely, mm-hmm. I think it just barely held on.
So is your issue like relying on it for your pace?
I hadn't really thought about what the issue would be, but now I'm worried
about
my pace.
Because you
kind of
don't need it for your total, you know, your total distance.
I mean, guess now I'm a little worried about it for my pace. I could take another, I do have another Garmin, an older version.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could take that and swap them out if I needed to, if it's for pace alone.
Well, that's why I asked, because you're going to be doing loops at that race,
mm-hmm.
You know, you'll know your mileage is like, okay, I'm at 3, I'm at 6, I'm at 9. You know, you can do that simple math in your head. Right. But you won't know your pace, so yeah. I don't know if you cared about that or not. So,
yeah.
I'm gonna have to
plan that out. Okay.
So yeah, so that's a Runtastic GPS watch. Check it out. TomTom actually came out with a GPS watch, I think like a month and a half ago too. So another option. Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't talk about it because I was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
That didn't seem like the best option at the time. But if anybody's tried any of these, let us know. Other running stuff coming out, The Last Mile. Which is a movie.
Okay.
It's kind of like a little documentary movie that I don't know if we've talked about it before, but it's available online now. You can watch it online. I think it's $8.99. The DVD will be coming soon for order on Amazon. Now, I don't know what soon means. So I think if I have time over the weekend, I might actually just drop the $9 to kind of watch it.
So $8.99, that's just to view it online?
That's just to view it online.
Okay, that's not...
So,
okay.
Yeah, if you want to buy the DVD, I don't think they've listed the price, but I'm sure it'll probably be, you know, that standard DVD, $20, I would say. $20-$25, maybe.
Okay.
But I'll put a link to the trailer. You know, I'm kind of a sucker for any movie that has to do with anything with running. So that's why I'll check it out. And then if I do watch it, I'll let you know next week how it is. Because before I knew it, we were talking about Spirit of the Marathon 2.
Yes.
Coming out to theaters for that one day event.
Right. Next month.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of like middle of June, I think.
Yeah. So that one, definitely going to see that one also. So, all right. That's kind of the news. Let's kind of get into the main topic that we were going to talk about today that we promised last week, which was going to be hydration packs.
Yeah. Specifically for running.
For running.
We know there's like tons of hydration packs for, you know, hiking, backpacking, et cetera. But
right.
This is kind of specific to running.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a lot of hydration packs over the years.
Yeah.
Specifically for hiking, several
right.
different types. If you want any recommendations on that, I can email me. I'll send you those separately.
Yeah.
But so a hydration pack. So I guess before we get into hydration packs, let me say, you know, staying hydrated on the run is very important.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a couple main ways that you can take your water with you on the run. Well, I guess number one is you rely on the race if you're doing a race.
True.
For their aid stations. Number two would be take a handheld bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what a lot of people do.
Right.
So whether that's a small, seen them like the small quick shots are what, like 8-10 ounces, something like
that. Something like that.
Or up to the bigger 22 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Handheld. You also have fuel belts.
Right.
Which is just that belt that goes around your waist. Usually has those little 8-10 ounce flasks kind of in little pockets.
And some of them will actually hold the bigger bottles too.
Yeah. So they also have the belts that hold sometimes two big 22 ounces.
Yeah. There's a lot of combination now.
Yeah.
Lots of different combinations, I should say.
And then kind of a step above that is you would have these hydration packs, which are kind of like a backpack, where they either carry bottles on the front or a hydration bladder on the back or some combination
right,
thereof.
Or both.
Or both. So that's kind of the main ways to carry water. The one thing I'll say is the way not to carry water during a race or a long run is to not carry a plain old water bottle and just carry it in your hand.
Why?
So it's not comfortable at all.
Oh.
You know, like your standard crystal geyser at
I've
the store.
I've done that once before. Yeah, it was really annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That.
Because there was no comfortable way to like, and I kept switching like arms and then I like tucked it in my elbow. Like,
yeah, because your
like,
hand just gets tired
thing?
From
yeah,
gripping
right.
it. So when we say handheld bottle, that's the bottle with that fabric little strap so
right.
you can slide your hand in there. It makes it so much easier than just carrying a bottle in your hand. So don't just carry the bottle in your hand.
Although if it's nothing or that bottle and you need it, then take the bottle. Yeah.
That is true. Sometimes you can buy those little, I see people with the little tiny ones.
Oh, the little,
like
the little mini
size.
Ones.
Yeah. Bottle. So, but today we're going to talk about the hydration backpack style, the vest, race vest, as mm-hmm. they're actually called a lot. So, because I think we kind of, actually both kind of gravitate more towards a vest than a belt.
Yes.
We do use handheld bottles a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So for shorter runs, but if you're going past a certain distance and you need more water, or you need more gear, I think for us, personally,
right,
the vest or the pack
and
that works
is,
the best.
And this is one of those things kind of like you need to figure out what works for you. For some people, you know, the belt is going to work better for mm-hmm. them, you know, and other people they'd rather just stick to like having two handhelds versus, you know, a pack or a vest. So you kind of need to figure out, just like with everything else, like with nutrition and everything else, you kind of need to figure out what works for you. But for us, yeah, we do tend to like the packs / vests for longer. Or not even necessarily really long runs, but even like the trail halves where there's going to be a big gap in between aid stations. Yeah.
And this isn't just for trail running. You can
right.
just, you know, part of the problem with long runs is, you know, it's tough maybe in your neighborhood to go 20 miles
yeah.
and have water or food. Although, like we always said, I think we've suggested before, you can do a loop in your neighborhood, pass
mm-hmm.
by your house as your own aid station. You
exactly.
can take, remember like a week or two ago, we were talking about taking money to buy, like stop at a store.
Yeah. Or even
stuff,
or
so.
Go like close to parks that have water fountains, you know, things like that. So, and I think I used my pack. I know we're going to get into our individual packs later on, but I used my pack when I was training for CIM actually and mm-hmm. doing the long runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had my pack out there. So, you know, it was just totally flat, you know, run, but you know, mm-hmm. definitely it wasn't a trail run by any means, but it was definitely a long run. So I took my pack out there with me.
So we're going to go through kind of five things you need to know about buying a hydration pack. The first thing is fit. Mm-hmm. Probably the most important thing.
Right. It's got to be comfortable.
It's got to be comfortable and it's got to fit. So packs do come in sizes, a mm-hmm. lot of them. So sometimes it's like two sizes. Certain brands actually do have women's specific right. models. So that's another size issue. So I think if you can, this is the kind of thing you'll want to buy in person and not necessarily online.
Right.
Or buy it from an online retailer that you can try it on and return it.
Yeah. Or I think I tried a pack or two in person mm-hmm. at a store, but didn't purchase it there.
Right.
And then, but kind of made my decision mm-hmm. and then bought it online.
Yeah.
At a place that would be easily returnable.
Which was actually the same place you tried a bunch on.
That is true.
Yeah. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Actually, Race Expo is a good place too. If they tend them. Not to have a lot of packs, but
right. They tend to have more of the fuel belts and the handhelds.
Yeah. But you can kind of run around and try a bunch of them on. So number two is pocket placement.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have a pack that does have lots of pockets and pouches, you got to look at where all these pockets and pouches going to be.
Go ahead.
Is it stuff you can access on the run? Or are you going to have to pull it off to get into the back?
Right.
Or are they kind of right in front, right on the side? Lots of different places, lots of different little configurations. So you got to look at kind of what kind of pockets you need and where you kind of need them.
And what you're going to be putting in the pockets. Mm-hmm. I know initially pocket placement, I probably would have thought like, oh, really? Like I really need to think about that, you know, before picking a vest or a pack, but it really does make a big difference, especially for me, you know, like, well, I guess, what are you going to put in there? You know, like, are you going to need something that you're going to be accessing while you're on the go, like while you're running mm-hmm. or just like when you're stopping at aid stations or just, you know, taking a break or that sort of thing, you know, when are you going to be accessing it? Like, are you going to be keeping, you know, nutrition in there, goos, or just like your phone that you won't really have to access, but you're just carrying with you. So I think the next thing was hydration capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So basically looking at, you know, how much fluid you're going to need to take with you. So kind of looking at, you know, the intensity and durations of your workouts, like what type of, I guess specifically, because what we're talking about running is, you know, what type of runs are you going to be doing with this? How long? Where are you going to be? You know, is it going to be hot? Is it not? You know, what type, how much basically fluids are you going to have to take with you? And I think part of this, I was able to kind of draw from our hiking days, mm-hmm. since we don't do much of that anymore.
Right.
You know, to kind of look at how much water and fluids I'd go through like on a hike,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of gave me an idea of what to expect in terms of long runs. I think in general, they say to definitely get something that has either, if you're going to get something with the bladder, get something that has like a 2 or 3 liter bladder, I think.
Yeah. I think two liters is probably the most common. So I guess that leads into the next one, which is actually hydration carrying choices. So right. do you want to carry, even though you're carrying a pack, you can still carry it in a bottle
mm-hmm.
or you can carry it in a bladder. So bladder, probably the most common size is a 2 liter bladder. So bladder fits, goes into usually a big pocket on the back,
right.
has a tube over your shoulder, and then you just stick that tube in your mouth and just drink whenever you want. Or do you want to go with a pack that carries bottles? Usually it's 2 bottles on your chest is the most common configuration. Mm-hmm. So 22 ounces, or I think they're 20 or 22 ounce bottles right on your chest, if that's your preferred way to go. If you need a ton of water, mm-hmm. you could, certain packs can do both of those.
Right.
So you can actually carry a bladder
and the bottles in the front.
And
or on the side or wherever.
And there's also, you can also get 3 liter bladders too, if you kind of want to step it up even a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So, number 5 is carrying capacity. So not of just the hydration, but how much other gear are you going to have to take?
Right.
So are you stashing a jacket in there?
Mm-hmm.
Gloves, hat, first aid, food, nutrition, depending on how long you're going to be out there.
Phone, wallet, keys.
True.
Like what type of, what type of things are you going to need to take with you? How much food? Is it just a couple of packets of goo? Are you going to be needing to take like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and, you know, or something more like that?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of bars? You know, is it going to be enough room for all of that? I know I take a little, one of those miniature, it's almost like a little travel size body glide with me.
Yep.
A couple of Band-Aids, you know, that sort of thing. So just kind of think about what you may, my inhaler. Are you going to need medications with you? That's a good point too.
Sure.
You know, so.
I mean, the one thing recently I keep saying I have to put in my pack, which I keep forgetting, is a bandana to like just kind of wipe the sweat off my head.
Yeah.
Kind of in the middle of a run. And
I think I'm going to try that too.
Forget. Actually, I should make a note while I'm sitting here so I can remember to do that. But so that's kind of 5 things to consider if you're looking for a hydration pack. There's lots of brands out there, lots of pretty big price range. Kind of the big names in hydration packs are Nathan, Camelback, Ultra Spire, Ultimate Direction,
Salomon,
and Camelback.
Yeah.
Which is actually the company that I used to have a lot of hiking.
Right. I think I still have 1 or 2.
Yes.
Actually, I definitely have 1. A women-specific Camelback for hiking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what the packs that we actually use. You haven't, well, I guess for some reason we both seem to gravitate towards Nathan products.
Yeah.
Because we actually have Nathan handhelds and Nathan hydration packs.
Right.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I don't think it was like necessarily intentional. Like, hey, we're only going to have Nathan stuff. No, I think it just ended up working out that way.
And that's maybe just the stuff that we kind of liked. So what pack do you have?
I have the Nathan Intensity, which is a women's specific running pack / vest. I guess really it's a vest. I think they refer to it more as a vest because it's really meant to kind of hug your body and kind of, you know, be snug on your body. So it feels like it's more part of you versus feeling like you have a backpack on and mm-hmm. you feel it like, you know, moving around and jumping around. I have the one I'm using right now is actually not the current or new
model. The 2013 model. You have the 2012.
Yeah. Yeah. But I personally really like the fact that it's women specific because a couple of different things. One is the size. You know, it's generally smaller in terms of how it's going to fit on your torso, mm-hmm. just because in general women are smaller. And then also, you know, where the strap is on the front. You know, it's in a place that is much more comfortable than probably if I used some of the men's or unisex, I guess if you want to call it right. that, packs or vests. So it doesn't, you know, kind of cross over the front in like an awkward spot or uncomfortable spot. It really fits in it. I'm kind of like just like at the bottom of my sternum, kind of. And then also where the, I don't know what you call the, is it the straps or just towards the, you know, the where you put your arms through?
Mm-hmm.
Are they called straps?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is that what they're called?
I would think so.
Sounds weird.
Okay.
But, you know, those sit, I think, a little bit wider so that they're a little bit more comfortable too, mm-hmm. versus like the men's vest would be a little bit more towards the center of the body. And right. these are a little bit more lateral, right. you know, more towards the outside of your body. So I really like my pack. It has a 2-liter bladder. And it's so far been fine for me. I think the only time I actually had to refill it was at the Way Too Cool 50K. Mm-hmm. That's the only time that I had to refill my bladder. And it's not that I went all the way to empty, but I just probably would have gone empty before the next aid station. I only had to fill it once and it was like after mile, I don't know, 24 or 25 or something like that. So it was, you know, way, you know, into the race. I like the fact that it has two pockets in the front. One is a zippered pocket on the left and the other one has a little bungee cord. So I keep my phone in my zippered pocket just in case I need to access it to call somebody in case of an emergency or to take pictures.
That's right.
Yeah. So I've done that. And then on the other one that doesn't have the zipper that's more easily accessible, I keep goos or bars or whatever I'm going to have just so that I don't have to reach, you know, over my shoulder to mm-hmm. the back of the actual vest to get, you know, the nutrition. So that works well for me. And then the back has, you know, that's where the bladder goes. It has a separate pocket and then it has a small pocket basically to carry other things. So that's where I keep like the tiny little body glide that I have, my inhaler, a couple of Band-Aids. Sometimes I put Kleenex in there. I don't remember what else I put in there. But you have to be careful not to like overpack it or overstuff it and be like, I'm going to put everything in there because it fits. Because then, you know, really how much of it are you going to end up using? And are you just kind of carrying all that extra weight? So I have actually even put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the same pocket as a bladder before. So, and it's fit totally fine. And it doesn't bounce really. You know, it feels pretty snug. It doesn't feel like it's moving around a lot. So I really like it. So I wouldn't mind trying, you know, some other packs just to see how they feel or some other vests, but I really like the Nathan Intensity that I have. So,
yeah, I think the Intensity being women specific is seems to be one of the most popular for women. Mm-hmm. It's the one that I've seen the most
see a lot, yeah.
out at races and kind of on the trails
right.
on women. So
you've seen it on men too.
I have actually.
Yeah. Which I guess I don't see a reason why it wouldn't work well for a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The 2012 one was just kind of a blue and gray, a little bit of white
yeah.
in there kind of standard thing. So it wasn't very, didn't seem like, oh, that's a women's
right.
specific pack. This year, the 2013 models, I think they threw in a bunch of pink and purple.
Yeah, and they have a couple of other colors too.
I think the other one's white. So now there's a pretty big difference between those and kind of the men's or unisex packs, if
right.
that's what they are. So yeah, so I think it's kind of funny. The Nathan Intensity is the one that I see the most on women. The Nathan, it's called the HPL020, mm-hmm. which is kind of the equivalent, basically the exact same pack for men.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most common pack that I see on men.
Yeah.
Basically, a very similar kind of same pockets, same everything almost. After that, I see the Nathan Endurance, which is another pretty popular pack that I think carries a little bit more gear. You access the bladder a little bit differently from the top, but that's really the only difference. I should say the Intensity that you have normally, I think MSRP is probably around $100 now.
Mm-hmm.
You can usually get them for probably $65 to $80, depending on where you look.
Right.
So check Amazon, Running Warehouse, those kinds of places.
If you're going to buy online. Discount codes sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you might want to, if you have to, try it on at a local REI I know carries them.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you need me to order it from Amazon, if it's a little bit cheaper, I would just go ahead and do that. So recently I bought my first pack. It was actually just a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
So I actually bought the Nathan Vapor Wrap 2-liter, which is actually a brand new vest to the Nathan line.
Mm-hmm.
Just came out like a week before I ordered it. I was actually kind of waiting for it to come out. I was kind of on hold purchasing something because I kind of saw the preview of the Vapor Wrap and kind of really liked it and decided to basically wait for it. Now, it is basically Nathan's most expensive pack that they have. So I guess I'm crazy and I kind of went for the Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because I kind of liked some of the stuff that they introduced in the pack this time around. So it has a little bit, has two chest straps, two V straps that go across your chest.
Mm-hmm.
So normally most of the hydration packs that I see, you normally have one.
Right.
So this one
mine
fits,
just has the one.
Right. This one fits a little bit snugger, kind of tough to adjust on the run because they're V straps.
Ah,
so it goes
that makes sense.
From one side to the other and back, but it's one strap. So it makes it a little bit difficult to adjust, but 2-liter hydration pack in the back. Has two pockets on the front for bottles. So I have a ton of carrying capacity for liquid. I've just been using it with a bladder. I don't really intend to put any bottles in it anytime soon.
Are you putting anything in those front pockets, though? The ones that can hold bottles?
Yeah, my right one always has my cell phone.
Okay.
Which kind of fits perfectly in there. An iPhone 5 kind of fits just the perfect size to kind of put it in there with the little bungee cord. I almost don't even have to tighten it, but it sits right there, and I have my earbuds coming out of it. One of the things I like is the tube for the water comes over my shoulder and across my chest, and it actually has a little hook that it goes onto, and then that hook is magnetic to the pack.
Oh, right.
So when you want a drink, you just pull it off and you drink, and then it's super easy to put it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they actually nailed the magnet perfect because it's super easy to take off, but it's not once actually just kind of accidentally popped off.
Right.
So they actually struck, I think, the perfect balance on there.
Now, I don't have that magnetic thing. Mine's like the tube kind of clicks into like a clip almost.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to click into the clip.
So you have to take it off of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Vapor Wrap, I think, is much easier.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big nuisance, but I think that's definitely an added bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this one also has a tiny little stash pocket on, I think it's my left chest pocket on the strap there. On the right side, there's actually a removable pocket that would actually really be good for a cell phone or something. It's kind of about that size. I took that off the day I got it, and I haven't put it back on because that's a little bit too much storage than what I need. There's also two pockets on the side, kind of down below your armpits, where the pack kind of hugs you, where I've been sticking my Goose and wrappers from Goose. And I was kind of worried when I first got it that it would kind of be in the way of my arms as I run, but it hasn't been. So that's been kind of perfect. On the back, the one cool thing about this one, it is actually has a little, they call it an insulated pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So you take your bladder, you stick it inside the insulated pouch, and then you stick the insulated pouch into the pocket in the hydration pack.
Right.
Now, insulated pouch is just kind of one of those reflective metallic materials.
Right. Kind of like one of those little like cloth coolers are made out of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. It's pretty thin. It's actually a little bit noisy when you run because it's kind of feels like a really... kind of feels like that tarp material in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So as things rub it, it's kind of a little bit noisy. So it actually bothered me a little bit the first time, and I wore it, and after that, it didn't bother me at all. We actually compared packs one day in terms of temperature of our water.
Yeah.
And it actually helped a lot
in
keeping my water cool.
Yeah, I would say that's the one thing for sure that I probably would want to change about mine, is that the water just tends to get warm. Because I don't have that insulated pack or pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's basically a thin, you know, relatively thin fabric between my back and my body, essentially, and the bladder itself. So it tends to get, it doesn't get hot, but it gets ambient temperature pretty quickly.
I really like cold water. So to me, this is a big thing. So it truly does help quite a bit.
And I guess I could just put ice in my bladder, but
you could. That's what I used to always do when I
and
would
I
go
know
hiking
I should,
and
but
stuff
yeah.
like that. But the reason you haven't put ice in your bladder is because you didn't want to get kind of that freezer taste.
Well, I guess I could buy ice.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, I didn't want to put the one that we have in our freezer because it kind of has like that freezer taste or smell to it. Yeah.
And you get that in your pack. Right. So the other thing is this pack has, you when you put your bladder in the back, it kind of has what it's called, It's kind of, they call it the bladder control system, which I just always find as a funny name.
Right. But, bladder control. Yeah.
But it actually has, the way the bladder fits in your back, it actually has straps over it that kind of come to your chest and your side that as you drink the water, you can tighten those straps kind of as your day goes on. That way that water will actually move less than a normal pack. So it's something to keep that, that bladder snug against you,
right,
and reduce kind of the movement. So that's another thing that they introduced. Pack also has bungee cords on the back and two more pockets on the back. So a lot of cargo capacity.
Right.
So pretty cool pack. I like it a lot, actually. Been really happy. Also has a pocket that goes right against your back, between your back and what would be the bladder. And the idea of that is so you can put ice in there on a really hot day.
Right.
Which I kind of don't like it because I'm like, it's never that hot at the start of my run where I really want to put ice against my back. And then that's just going to get, you know, tons of water down my back and down my shorts. And that doesn't seem like a great way to kind of start my run.
Although you could put it if you were, say, doing like a race.
If you're doing a 50K and you're at an aid station with ice,
then that would be perfect.
Could be awesome.
Right.
So
now, I did mention my pack does have also a little bit of, not as much bungee as yours does on the back, but I do have a little bit of bungee cord in the back there.
So you can throw like a jacket.
Yeah, like a jacket or something like that. And then aside from the one, like I guess chest strap, even though it doesn't go over the chest in the front, it does have some straps on the side of the torso that you can kind of pull on to tighten as you're drinking your water, just to kind of try to keep your, keep the vest snug.
Right.
So it does have that too.
Awesome.
You sounded sarcastic there.
No, I was being serious. Okay. So, yeah, so that's kind of the vapor wrap that I have. They actually also make a women's version of it.
Right. Vapor shape.
The men's kind of all gray. If you see it, the women's is completely white, which I thought was, I don't know if I'd want a completely white pack.
I wouldn't mind a completely white pack.
You're not worried about it getting dirty or marked up, or you just
I mean,
it's
going to get dirty. Yeah. It's like worrying about my running shoes getting dirty.
Right.
They're going to get dirty.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of like the way it looks.
So, I mean, like I said, mine has quite a bit of cargo capacity, quite a bit, can carry a lot of water if it needs to. Might seem overkill for the amount of running that I do, but I kind of wanted something that
you can keep
I could have for a long time. And I, my plan is to kind of use it on some longer trail run slash hikes that I think we might do. I actually wore it when we went to do that street scramble a couple weeks ago. So
yeah,
that was a 3-hour
too.
Run. So kind of worked out great for that. So I've worn it several times, pretty happy with it. It is the most expensive pack that Nathan makes. Suggested retail price is actually $175, quite high. You can actually find it for quite a bit less if you go to Amazon. I would say running a warehouse because at the time I bought it, it was quite a bit cheaper, but I noticed today they're actually asking full retail price on it. So I don't know if that's because it must be selling pretty well or what, but...
Now, doesn't yours also have like an attachment for trekking poles if you were going to be doing that?
Yeah, it has like two little attachments on the shoulders for trekking poles,
yeah,
which
so
are kind of
like
little...
some adventure racing or something.
Yeah, for bungee cords, which I'm actually just going to end up cutting them off because they just kind of bounce around and there's kind of no point to it. Also has one bungee cord with an emergency whistle.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So might be nice. You know, it kind of reminds me of hiking where you take that emergency whistle. Although it's funny, this past weekend, that thing was bouncing around like crazy. So I think I'm going to have to... I actually don't think that one is like permanently attached. I think it's just kind of tied on. So I think I can take it out and put it in the pocket. So I'll keep the whistle. Assuming I can take it off, otherwise I'm gonna have to cut it off and just put it in the pack because it was like kept bouncing around and like on top of my shoulder. But other than that, it fits great kind of like while you're running.
Now what about, I know you had mentioned that at least at first when you started using it, and I don't know if it's just because you weren't used to wearing a hydration vest, is that it felt kind of like it was constricting you?
It did.
Are you still having that issue or not so much? Or
I know the first time I wore it, it took me a while to kind of get the chest straps dialed in. Like I said, they're not the easiest to adjust, and I think I had it way too tight. So I was kind of like, I'm killing myself here because it, you know, it's so many straps. But I think I'm okay with it now. If anything, I just got to loosen it up a little bit. But it is kind of weird that this specific pack actually has so many, like I said, it's two kind of V straps. So it's almost kind of like four straps, if you can imagine going across
and
it.
And you can move them up and down too. Right?
To a certain degree, you can.
I mean, not, yeah.
Yeah, there's limits to it, and you can't take them off, unfortunately. Yeah, the first thing I had was I wanted to switch the magnet from one side to the other that holds the loop, the tube for the water, and I was, like, trying to figure out a way to do it, and I couldn't do it, and I was like, darn it. But then I kind of figured out the best way to kind of run the hose and kind of loop it through, that now I'm perfect with that. I actually don't need to make a change, so I'm glad I didn't, like, start cutting and sewing the pack when I first got it, you know, trying to make some drastic changes because I didn't need it. But it fits pretty good. I think maybe I need to loosen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
On the chest. Which I'll have to do at home because, like I said, on the run, I can't seem to get those straps.
Or you'll have to stop.
Right.
Like during your run and fix it and then go.
But the quality, you know, of the pack itself to me feels really good and it feels super comfortable.
Right.
You know, we gravitate towards packs just because, you know, I've tried the waist belts, which I know are super popular, probably way more popular.
Yeah.
But to me, they bounce too much.
Right. And they work for a lot of people.
Right.
But same here. I tried a couple and they just bounced a lot. And that like was really like distracting for me and mm-hmm. just kind of uncomfortable, not painful, but just like right. uncomfortable. Like it's just like, oh no, I'd rather like have a handheld or have a vest or a pack with me.
Yeah, I think years ago I tried an Amphipod, which I hardly ever see anymore.
I know.
Seems like the brand's getting their butt kicked.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I really like the packs. Like I said, kind of used to hiking and backpacking, so kind of used to having stuff on my shoulders. And like I said, you know, this pack actually has a lot of capacity, but it's really comfortable if you're only carrying a couple things in it. So that's why I say it kind of gives me room to grow.
Right.
So when I don't need to carry much stuff, I can still take it. And when I need a bunch of water, if I'm going to go do a long hike or something, I can take tons of stuff. Because I'm actually, next time I go do a long hike, I think I'm just going to take this and
try it out.
The only bad sign is I can't really carry like my camera or anything like that.
That's true.
Like I normally would. But.
Right. Yeah. And I think the intensity that I have is fine for what I'm going to be doing, you know, for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, like it worked totally fine for 50K. I don't see myself doing anything longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to work fine for what I plan to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now the only issue is you did actually have an issue with the valve on the end of your tube.
Yeah.
It started leaking.
I've had the pack, I think, for just over a year and it started leaking. I don't know exactly when, but maybe like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Like
so you just contacted Nathan last week on Facebook.
Yeah. And just told him like it's leaking. Do you have any suggestions? And so they said they'd get me a replacement part out.
Okay. Yeah. So they'll probably send you a replacement valve for the tip.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll help.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's actually, I'm mentioning that because I think it's pretty good that they kind of responded
absolutely
right away and will fix the problem. Kind of like the response we had with Brooks' issues. And we've heard of Brooks' problems before.
Yeah, so we've got, and then I actually had contacted them before as far as washing.
Oh, yeah.
My vest. Because I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. Like, I don't want to ruin it by throwing it in the washing machine. So they actually sent me a link to a YouTube video that talks about how to wash your vest.
And it's all basically hand wash with a rag, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they recommend that you use their sports wash, you know, and soak it in water and then basically like hand wash it and then rinse it and hang it up to dry. But I know some people that I've been reading on the Marathon Maniacs Facebook page or group, they actually will throw theirs in the washing machine, like on a gentle cycle, and it'll be fine.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Because you will stink these things up rather quickly. So, I mean, you go out there and you do a 2 mile long run or you start getting out and doing some trail running.
Did you say a 2 mile long run?
Did I say a 2 mile?
I think so.
I meant like 20
mile. I guess it's all relative.
True.
So.
Could be. Yeah. Could be doing a 2 mile long.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you start getting out there and doing, I meant to say 2 hours.
So okay. I don't think I'll take my vest for a 2 mile, but.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you do these long runs on hot days and you're going to sweat and this is right against your back and you know how much your back sweats.
Right. And then the straps are like pretty close to your armpit.
Yeah.
On, you know, and it's just, I mean, it gets stinky there, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, mine was getting a little ripe, I'll just say that. So I definitely needed some washing, and I washed it a couple times since then. So
now I think the one thing I should mention is the biggest downside with hydration packs, if you're using a bladder, is probably maintenance on your bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be aware of your bladder getting moldy. Does that sound funny?
Sorry, I know you're talking about the hydration bladder, but then just like I'm picturing like somebody with a multi bladder. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So, I mean, what you have to do is after your runs is you have to come home, you have to empty it out, and the recommendation is you hang it up.
Right.
So, they actually, I still have from years ago, Camelback had little hangers that would like kind of fold. You'd slide it into the bladder.
Right.
It expands, and then you just kind of hang it on a hook in a closet or on a hook or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that metal hanger, just kind of bend it up, stick it in there.
I'm not a big fan, though, of putting a metal hanger in something that's wet.
True.
Because then you're going to get rust.
That's a problem.
So I would get like something with plastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever way you want to do it, you're going to want to kind of let them dry out.
Right.
You don't want to leave the water in there, or you don't want to seal them up with a little bit of
with
water
the moisture
in there.
Because then you'll get a moldy bladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to clean them, you know, on a regular basis as best as you can. They actually, I know for Camelbacks, they used to sell like a little cleaning kit, which included like a little brush you could slide in the tube. So that way you can clean the hole out. And then they had special tablets that would like dissolve and supposedly clean it. So
now one thing about the bladder, I don't know if it's the same thing for all the Nathan vests, but I know that I think the bladder that you have for your vest and mine is not that different. Mm-hmm. And you can actually turn those inside out and wash them really easily too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know, because just the way that they open and close, you know, okay. The bladders themselves, compared to like a Camelback bladder, you know, where it has like that thing you have to unscrew, right. And you can't really turn that bladder inside out.
Okay.
The ones that we have, we really can. So I've done that before. I've turned it inside out and washed it that way, let it dry that way, and then turn it back right side out. Yeah.
That's good to know, because I haven't really had mine long enough to kind of give it a good deep
right.
cleaning.
Yeah, so it's really easy to turn it inside out and clean the bladder itself.
Okay. Well, that's maybe a suggestion if you're actually thinking about the bladder on which one to get. So.
Right.
So that's kind of our experiences. I'll put links to kind of the stuff that we have. And maybe what I think I'll do is I'll link to the Running Warehouse page where they have kind of a bunch of hydration packs or race vests, and you know, there's all kinds of different sizes. If it's something, you know, you're interested in and want to try it out, like I said, try it out at a local store. You know, they have something like what I got that carries a ton of stuff. They have minimal ones that's basically like almost no pockets and carries a bladder,
mm-hmm.
or almost no pockets and it's just, you know, for
the bottles
on the front. So that's what we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, and if anybody has any other information on other specific vests or packs that they want to share,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, tell us what you're running with.
Exactly.
So, all right, let's jump into some feedback before we close it out. Who do we hear from this week? Beth let us know she did the country music half.
I think a couple weeks back.
Yeah, that's a rock and roll event, right?
Yes.
So.
I think it rained mainly during most of the race, I think she said. So, you know, got a little cold post-race. And one of the downsides, I guess, to the race was that the Mylar blankets weren't until after the secure, like,
runner zone.
Yeah,
really
so, like,
weird.
After the food and all of that. So she was, like, you know, too cold and, like, needed the blanket to even really, like, focus on the food. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I could totally see that. I'd be probably doing the same thing. Especially if you were running in rain.
Yeah, normally, so. I mean, those blankets should be right there immediately. Yeah. Either right before the medal. I don't know what comes first, Mylar blanket or the medal.
I think medal should come first.
I'd want my medal and then give me
the blanket. But, right. And then the food.
Yeah. But usually you always get that blanket before the food. So that's kind of weird. And then I think probably the best part was she actually got to meet Carrie Goucher at the expo the day before. So got a picture, which I did see over on her blog, which is runningwithmickey.com.
Yep.
So you can check that out. And I think she has a full kind of race report on the race over there. We also heard from David, who sent us some pictures of a lot of snow. We always say we're kind of really spoiled in California and, you know, we're kind of full on into summer here. And I think
it was at the Wisconsin area.
Yeah. So just from like a week ago, I think it was probably a week or 10 days ago now.
Yeah.
Tons of snow, super beautiful. Looks like a great place to visit. Don't want to live there. Being a Californian.
I know, I was looking at the pictures. I was like, oh my gosh, could you imagine like running like through that? You know, yeah, we're definitely spoiled there.
Yeah. Give props to everybody who runs in. Right. Yeah, I know we have some listeners.
And anything other than Northern California weather.
Yeah. I know we have a lot of listeners up north and several Canadian listeners. So if you're dealing with all the snow and winter, you're much braver than I am dealing with the seasons. But he actually did the Polar Dash on January 1st, which was his first half.
Mm-hmm.
So
this
year,
congrats
on that. And then he's got the upcoming Go Far Challenge in Fargo, which is another challenge, which sounds interesting, which is a 5K on, I think, the Friday night.
Yeah, sometime in the Friday evening sometime.
And then you come back Saturday morning.
And do the half. Right.
And I think you get some special.
You get some extra medal or something. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. We always like the challenges.
Yeah, anything that adds an extra medal or a challenge, we're always super interested.
We're there.
It sounds interesting. So,
so good luck with that. Because that's this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also heard from Luke, who became a professional runner like me. Because he found
you too now.
He found a dollar on his run. On the ground, I guess. Right. And he was wondering if that makes him a professional runner since he's getting paid for it.
Yeah.
I found a $20 bill on my run a couple weeks back. So
yes, I told him he should probably ask for a raise.
Yeah. He
needs to find like a 50 out there the next time.
Based on our speeds, if I'm getting $20, he should at least be getting $100. So he's getting kind of robbed. But it's kind of funny. Whenever I go through that one corner that I found that $20 bill on the ground, I always kind of like keep looking around.
Like it's going to be the same exact spot. Like what are the chances? Like, okay, what are the chances of you finding a $20 bill again on a run? And then what are the chances of it being in the same exact corner? If anything, you should be looking like at other places.
Maybe the wind like blows everything to like that one street corner. And that's kind of where everything gets pushed. And I can
maybe
find it on there. So yeah, keeping my eye out for money. So on to serious stuff. We heard from Kara. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name, who wanted to kind of pass along reminders about safety while running.
Yeah, very important. You know, definitely making sure that if you're running out on the road specifically, you know, making sure that you're being seen, you know, by cyclists, but also motorists. And then making sure that you're looking out for other cars too, and not kind of like zoning out and in your own little world. Because you could definitely get injured.
Mm-hmm.
I think she had a family member actually get injured and hit by, I believe, a truck.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, I think just, you know, minor injuries, just like bruising and I think a sprained ankle or something very minor, thank goodness. Because, I mean, that could have been any one of us.
Right.
It could have been much worse. So just kind of, you know, just a reminder for everybody to, you know, be safe out there. Definitely. And then if, you know, if you're going to have headphones out on the road, you know, turn it down so you can kind of, you know, hear what's going on around you too. Just kind of being aware.
Yeah, they always say be a defensive driver. You know, you kind of got to be a defensive runner.
Yeah, it's true.
And
we're not even talking about necessarily nighttime, but, you know, even then you're talking about the whole reflective thing, which I think we talked about before, is,
right.
You know, wearing something reflective or multiple things that are reflective because you're going to be seen a lot easier and a lot sooner if you're wearing the reflective gear.
But even then, you kind of got to keep an eye out because
Absolutely.
You still don't know if people
are
paying attention or
exactly.
what.
Exactly. And even during the day, don't take it for granted that just because it's daylight
right.
that they can see you. I always try to make like eye contact with them
mm-hmm.
or at least look to make sure that they are looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's difficult to do at night, but during the day I try to like look and make sure that they see me before I, you know, cross the street or whatever it is.
Yeah. I'm always trying to, you know, always, you know, run against traffic when I kind of run the streets.
Yeah.
I've been bad recently with wearing the reflective stuff,
mm-hmm.
Mainly because I've kind of gone out in the evening for runs when it's kind of light out still.
Yeah.
But then by the time I kind of get home, it's dark. So I really should have taken my reflective vest. So
you got to remember that next time.
I will.
It's for your own safety.
Definitely try to remember that.
Yeah.
And I do run with, I always run with music. So
mm-hmm.
Probably if anything, I need to just kind of turn it down or at least turn it down or take one ear out when I'm kind of on the streets. Cause
yeah.
part of my usual run is like half streets, kind of half park.
Yeah.
So
just
the week,
take one of the earbuds out.
Yeah. So yeah. Good reminder.
Yeah, thank you. And glad it wasn't any worse.
Than it was.
Yes.
So that's going to kind of wrap it up for the week.
Mm-hmm.
No racing next week. Oh, you're
yeah,
racing
I'm
next
racing.
Weekend. See, I forgot because I wasn't racing.
Yeah, you're not racing next weekend.
I'm spectating next week, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be spectating from home, possibly.
Maybe. Well,
we'll see.
I'm actually got to go. My training plan is kind of calling for a 14-mile run next weekend. So I don't know if I'm going to do that while you're out doing your trail half at Wildcat or if I'm going to go spectate and kind of run the next day. On my long run. So, but yeah,
right.
You'll be doing the trail half marathon.
Yeah. Another brazen race.
Working
so
on your series.
Right. So this is, I think my fourth one of the series, which you basically just have to do four and then the championship race in October.
Yeah.
So once I complete this, I'll kind of be set until October in terms of the brazen trail, ultra trail, half whatever.
Championship
yeah.
thing.
There you go. Yeah.
Where you get extra stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. So this is actually one I haven't done before. So kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think by the elevation is too tough.
I think it's like 22, I think.
So easy, no.
No, but
definitely
yeah,
not that hard.
I think it's yeah. I think it's just by a little bit. I think it's the least amount of elevation that I've done so far on the trail halves
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, so we'll actually
yeah.
you'll for
I'll
sure
be
at the race, and then we actually have the Tour of California is running through
yeah.
the state this week.
Yeah, we
so
didn't even talk about that at all.
Yeah, we've kind of become. We're kind of really weird cycling fans in that we don't really ride a bike much.
Right.
So, but when...
I ride one that doesn't go anywhere. No.
You ride a stationary bike a lot.
Much.
So, when the Tour of California comes time for that, we're kind of locked into that. We'll
yeah.
be watching it on TV all this week. And then, you know, when the Tour de France comes, we're always locked
that.
On that. But the tour is kind of coming through the area next weekend. Going out to Mount Diablo for a mountaintop finish. So,
right.
We're going to kind of figure out...
And I was out in Mount Diablo
last year,
and that was
yeah.
pretty cool. That was a tough ride up, but I made it.
Yeah.
I survived.
But this
I
mean, year, they're actually doing a
mountain
top finish.
Exactly. So that's pretty awesome.
So we'll check out. I think next Saturday, we're going to try to catch them out on
somewhere.
The course somewhere. Probably not the mountaintop finish.
Yeah.
Just because
I think
it's going to be
out.
Too crazy and too busy. And
mm-hmm.
then I think they wrap it up in Santa Rosa on
Sunday.
Which I don't think we're going to make it out to. But
I don't think so.
But maybe Saturday we'll catch
them. We'll
some
try
of
to catch
course,
them Saturday.
So that'll be our week. All right. So that's going to kind of wrap it up, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thanks for listening.
So the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. Facebook page is facebook.com/embracerunning. You can send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. That's going to do it for this week. So until next time, keep running.